Have you ever noticed how mothers get the red carpet treatment for Mother's Day? You know, there's fabulous breakfasts and or brunches at a fine restaurant if it's not breakfast in bed. Sometimes they get treated to eloquent spas or, flowers. Fathers, what do they get? They get a tie, right? They get a tie. Maybe they get a new handsaw. They get taken out to McDonald's, maybe, for an egg McMuffin. It's just not the same. They get oatmeal for breakfast, it's just not the same. But more important than that, kidding aside, is really the confusion these days about what a father or any man really is. A real man, according to television, is someone who's like Rambo or Arnold Schwarzenegger, maybe Chuck Norris. Those are real men. Some might think of John Wayne. Those are the men. Those are the big guys, the tough guys, the unemotional, uncaring, hard-nosed guys. Tough. Or you can go on the other side of the spectrum and you end up with people like Archie Bunker. If you were raised in the 70s, or maybe Homer Simpson, if you were raised in the 90s. Not really good role models. Unfortunately, that's what most boys grow up with as a role model. Well, this morning I'd like for us to take a look at the Bible and what it has to say about men. Real men. Number one, real men are men who show love. They're not afraid to show it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." I don't know where we got the notion that men can't show love. Maybe it's from the image of, from movies where men are these tough, strong as steel, unemotional, people who have a strong armor on. Whereas women, on the other hand, well, they're the tender and the loving and the gentle and compassionate one. And oftentimes on television, for men, showing love is kind of a weakness. Of course, we only need to look at the example of Jesus to find out how absurd that really is. Jesus was as tough as they get. Think about it. Jesus stood up to the authorities that wanted to persecute him. He rebuked leaders. He endured hunger for 40 days. We have a hard time going 30 hours. He was homeless. He was rejected. He was beaten. He was flogged. He was crucified. He had nails go through his body. He had a spear thrust into his side. And yet, he didn't fight it. He didn't complain. He was as tough can get. And yet, as tough as Jesus was, he was not afraid to show love and compassion. He was not afraid to weep when people were hurting. He was not afraid to show love to those who needed it. Imagine the scene. It's in Mark chapter 5, and sometime you should read that story. It's a beautiful story, but it's a story about a girl that has died. And a father that is distraught. He is pained. And Jesus goes and finds the body of the little girl and gently puts his hand on the dead girl. and takes her in his hand and says to this body, and this is how it's translated literally, little girl, it's time to get up. You can just see the tenderness, the love being expressed in a man who endured so much hardship and in many ways was tough as nails. Little girl, it's time to get up. And get up she did. So I say to you, men, it's time to love. Don't be afraid to love. Be gentle. Be tender. There's a place for all of that. Doesn't mean you can't wrestle with your kids. In fact, it's a good idea if you wrestle with your kids in love. But a kind of man that we need to be is a kind that shows love to his family. Let them know that you love them. Many ways. In many times. But here's the thing. We will never really know how to love until we experience the love of God. Men, if you want to know how to love, the only way, the best way you're going to learn is to experience the love of God. The Bible tells us, men, to love our wives the way Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's what love is. It's a sacrifice. Love isn't an emotional attachment, although there is that in a relationship. Love isn't the same as sexual desire or attraction. Love isn't about getting, it's about giving. It's about sacrifice. It's about pouring out oneself. Love means putting your family before yourself. That's a tough one. It's easy to say. It rolls off the tongue so smoothly. But when push comes to shove, it gets challenged to put others ahead of yourself. That's what love does. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Love is a big theme in the Bible. For God so loved the world, and we are to love. We are to love one another for sure, but even more so to love our family. Love is not a weakness. It's a strength. Truth is, anybody can hate. It doesn't take much to hate. It doesn't take much to hold a grudge. It doesn't take much to have resentments. Anybody can do that. It doesn't take strength. It takes strength to love. It takes strength to forgive. It takes strength to put others before yourself. It takes strength to extend grace. So men, love is not a weakness. It's a strength. Do it. One guy, just to get a little bit on the lighter side here, I don't want to get too heavy here, came up with 10 ways to show your wife that you love her. Isn't that great? So I know not everybody here is a married man, but if you are, take a special note. You got that, Joel? Okay. Number one, here you go. Hold her hand for no reason. All right? Good men. Number two, look her in the eye and tell her that she's beautiful. Any guys who want to do that right now, you go right ahead. You won't be able to do all of these here in the sanctuary, okay? Just keep that in mind. Number three, do things around the house that you may not think are in your job description. Women, don't jab guys with that elbow here, okay? No elbow. Keep those elbows firmly planted by your own side here. Number four, leave her sweet little notes. Number five, tell her you love her a lot. And a lot of times. Number six, date her. Don't forget, take her on a date. Number seven, make time to listen to her. Number eight, surprise her with little gifts. Number nine, give her time to do things without you or the kids. And number 10, kiss her for no reason. In other words, kiss her out of the blue and not just because you want it to lead somewhere. There you go, guys. There's your 10, list of 10. Don't say we haven't been helpful here at the Church of the Nazarene. Some of it for later, guys, okay? Real men love. Secondly, real men listen. Real men listen. They don't just charge ahead without thinking or assuming that they know everything. They find out what's happening. They listen before they speak. And here's the hardest part. They listen not only to the message, but the heart behind the message. James chapter 1 verse 19 says, be quick to listen. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. Oh, it gets tough sometimes. Seriously. I mean, what's the number one complaint women have about men? It's that they don't listen. And if you're sitting there, guys, thinking, I've never heard my wife complain about that. It's not because you're not listening. They probably have. Now, to be fair, it would help if some women would just say what was on their mind. I mean, you know, we've all been there. Truth is, us guys, we're not very good at taking hints. We generally take things at face value. For example, this is purely a hypothetical situation. For example, men, if your wife says to you, honey, Sue is coming over for a visit tonight. The wrong response would be, that's nice. Have a great time with Sue. What she's likely saying is, listen, Sue is coming over to the house tonight, and this house is a mess. I need you to pick up your socks and put things away around here so when Sue gets here, it's in order. And make sure you leave that toilet seat down. That's what she's probably saying when she tells you that Sue's coming over for a visit. Real men listen. They listen to their wife. The difficulty, of course, is that men like to be problem solvers, not just listeners. It's hard to listen and not have a solution. And that becomes tough sometimes. It becomes hard to listen when you don't have a solution. And so we tend to not listen then. And really what is needed is just somebody to listen, to care. That's our number one job. And real men also listen to their kids. Studies have shown how incredibly poor men are at communicating with their children. Studies have shown that many fathers spend less than 1 minute a day actually communicating with their kids. By communicating, I'm not talking about grunting sounds. I'm not talking about demands to bring the remote control or another cola out of the fridge. I'm talking about conversation. Men, you need to engage your family in real conversation. Listen to them. And James also tells us that we need to be, as men of God, listening to what God has to say. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, do not merely listen to the word of God, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Men need to listen to their family, but listen to the Word of God. It tells us there. It tells us how to live. It tells us what to do. And it's not something that we just read and forget about, but we need to follow through with it. Real men love and real men listen. And thirdly, I wanted to say that real men lead. Ephesians 5:23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church." We already talked about how what it looks like that Christ loves the church and what He did for it. And the Scripture is saying that husbands, that men, need to lead as well. Now, it's important to emphasize here that leadership is not the same as dictatorship. It's not. Sometimes men think that, well, I'm the leader, I'm the head, that makes me the chief executive officer, the dictator of this household. And that does not work well, and that's not what God meant. When Jesus talks about His love for the church, we see that it's a love that sacrifices, a love that gives. Leadership implies leading. That was simple. Leading is not the same as driving. You can drive somebody, in other words, push them, or you could lead them and set such an example that others will want to follow. Leadership is not forced. Take leadership, men. Take leadership in spiritual things. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 to 9, this was written for the men. You know, we think, oh, this sounds good. This is for the mom to deal with. This is for the men to deal with. Deuteronomy 6, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children." This is given to the guys. "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." And what this scripture is telling us, men, is that we need to take responsibility to be the spiritual leader in our household. You need to set the example. You need to set the spiritual agenda. Men, you need to be the one getting up early Sunday morning and helping prepare the family for church. You need to be the one that's making sure everything is done to see that happens. You need to be the one to bring out the Bible and take time to read it with your family. Take leadership in spiritual matters. And men, you also need to take leadership in some very personal ways as well. I remember many years ago, a young couple that I knew were going to get married, and they decided that they were going to move in together. And on the day that they moved in together, while they were still unpacking, I went over to visit. And there they were, very much in love, very serious about getting married. And my advice to the young man was to pack up and move out today. I pleaded with him. It doesn't matter what money you might save. And I said, what this young lady needs more than anything is to know that she is going to be marrying a man who will have solid convictions. And I looked at him, and I said to him, on the one hand, she wants you here. She wants to be in a relationship. She's glad to be with you. But I said, on the other hand, because I knew her Christian faith, I said, on the other hand, deep down in her heart, she is hoping that you would be the man who would say, no, we can't do this, not till we're married. And I told him that if he would take that leadership, he would win her heart and earn her trust for the rest of his life. You see, men need to take leadership in spiritual things and even in taking responsibility and setting the agenda and making certain decisions, tough decisions. That's what it means to be a leader. So I want to encourage you, men, not to come down on you, but I want to encourage you, men, be a leader. Make the sacrifices. Make those hard choices. Do what's right. You will never go wrong in the long run by doing what's right. What we need is godly men. Men who will love the way Christ loves the church and not afraid to show it. Men who will listen not only to what they want to hear, but what their family and what the Word of God is saying. And men who will lead, setting the spiritual tone and giving direction to their families. Men, we have a big challenge ahead of us. And it's not something that we can fulfill on our own. We need God's help. We need to be in prayer about this. And women, there you go. If you wanted to know what to pray for, now you know. Pray for the men in your life, whether it's your husband or your sons, grandsons, maybe even your father, that they would be men who will love, men who will listen, and men who will lead to the glory of God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you tonight, or this morning rather. We just come to you, and Father, we just want to thank you for this call that you have put upon our hearts to be men of God. And yes, we are not perfect. And the Scripture does say that we all stumble in many ways. We do. But Father God, that doesn't mean we can't have a direction and a purpose and an aim. And so I pray that you would help me as well as all the men here and the men in the lives of the women here to be men who would love, who would listen, and who would lead. And Lord, where we have failed in the past, we do thank you for your grace. We do thank you, Lord, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because of your great love for us, Father God, we want to thank you for your grace and for your forgiveness. So I do pray, Father, that where we have failed, Lord, you'd help us to leave that behind and to move forward in our relationship with you and our relationship with those you have given to us to love. And for this, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.